We are very early in Mark's Gospel at this time, still in the first chapter. And already we see Jesus, developing quite a reputation. I mean, last week they were really impressed by the way he was teaching. And this time, no doubt, that the word spread very quickly that Simon's mother-in-law had been cured. And one of the things about Mark's Gospel is that he gives us a lot of these little clues, if you will, that other Gospels don't. And so after he cured Simon's mother-in-law, it said it was after dark in the evening. And that's when all the people started coming to him. Because, well, if he cured Simon's mother-in-law, there's a possibility he could take care of all these other people. So the whole town was gathered around him. So this was after, the sun had gone down. This was late in the evening. And so it was probably a long time that he spent healing and curing and driving out demons. But then Mark follows that up right away with, and very early the next morning. And so it was probably a very, very short night for Jesus. It's been a long time because they had come after dark and a lot of people were there. But rising very early the next day, he went out and he found himself a deserted place and he prayed. And we see this of Jesus time and time again, especially when he's got like a big decision or something that he has to make. He goes off in prayer and he comes back and he chooses his apostles. He goes to prayer in the garden and the next day he undertakes his passion. But the very interesting thing about this gospel, I think, is that obviously he's developed quite a reputation. And I'm sure the people that didn't get there the evening before were probably there already early in the morning saying, well, we couldn't make it last night, so we thought we'd come now. And so obviously Peter is, I don't know where Jesus is. I'll go find him. And so he goes and he finds Jesus and he said, well, everybody's looking for you. But the interesting part is, Jesus doesn't say, let's go back there. He says, no, it's time to leave. And again, he developed quite a reputation. I mean, they would have accepted him with arms outstretched. I mean, the whole ball of wax, he could have done anything. He was famous. And yet, no, it's time to leave. We have to go to the other villages now. Why? Because that's why I have been sent. This is my mission. And so it is so consistent with how Jesus works in his prayer. He went out to be alone with the Father. Why? To discern what the Father wanted him to do. And so in that prayer, his discernment was, okay, this is my mission. I can't just stay here. I would be very comfortable. I'd be very famous. All those great things. But that's not my mission. My mission is to leave and go to the other synagogues. And so this is quite a departure. Sort of radical, if you will. Very, very famous. But he doesn't even say, well, let's go back and take care of a couple of people. No, it's time to leave. I have to go to the other villages. Because that's why I have been sent. And so there's a lot that we can learn from this very, very short, pericope, if you will, in Mark's Gospel. One is the necessity of prayer on all of our parts. And not just prayer when it's convenient or when it's comfortable. Because that's one of the biggest mistakes people make when they say they want to get serious about praying, is that they don't realize how disciplined you have to be. Because that's how it starts. Discipline. We have to be there. And we'll skip a day and we'll say to ourselves, oh, I'll do it twice as long tomorrow. Well, we don't. And before we know it, we're out of the practice completely. And notice what Jesus, he probably wanted to stay in bed. It was a late evening the evening before. But no, he knows, I have to go and be in communion with my Father. So rising very early the next morning, He went off and he found himself some silence so he could be with his Father. And why was he there? He was there to pray, obviously. But so much of the part of the prayer of Jesus was discernment. What does God want me to do? And sometimes I think maybe that's why we don't pray. Oh, it's very easy for us to say, you know, the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. We say it thousands of times in our lives. I mean, if we just say, okay, you know, every year, come to the liturgy 52 times at least. Thy will be done. But how sincere are we about that? Because I think sometimes there's a fear that when we go to prayer and we go to that discernment, well, the will of the Father is not exactly going to be my will. So I don't want to be challenged on that, so I won't get serious about it. And sometimes, even when you go into the Eucharistic chapel, you can go in there with an idea of, okay, this is what I want to do. But we come out and it's completely different. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. You know, very comfortable preaching there. He went off in prayer, but what he thought he was going to do and what the Father wanted him to do were very different. I have to leave because this is why I have been sent. I have not been sent to stay in one place and live a very, very comfortable lifestyle. I'm to go out and preach that good news, to go to all the other synagogues and preach and teach and cure. That's my job. That's the will of the Father. And you know, we're never going to find out that will unless we become more like Jesus and take that time and take that silence to listen to the Word of God and to simply listen to God speaking in our lives. Because that's what we say all the time. Thy will be done. But are we serious about it? Because sometimes there's a little bit of fear involved. Because God's will for me might not be my will for me. And then, what do we do? So, maybe I'm better off not finding out what God wants me to do. Then I can plead ignorance. Well, I didn't know. And God would say, well, if you'd been a prayer more often, you'd spend a little more time in silence, you might have known that. Because God's will might not be the will that we want. And so, again, Mark is sort of very specific about these little things. Went late in the evening, and yet there was that discipline of Jesus. I need to be alone with my Father. I need some silence. I need to be able to discern what does the Father want me to do. Because the Scriptures are filled with Jesus reminding us that it's not about what I want to do. It's about the will of the Father. And it's no different for people that call themselves Christians, his disciples. It's not about my will. It's about the will of the Father. And we say that time and time again in the Lord's Prayer. But how do we discern that will? In prayer. In prayer. In honesty and openness to what God wants for each and every one of us. And again, we have our path all sort of formed in life, and this is what God wants me to do. Is it really what God wants you to do, or is it what you want to do? Because maybe God has something else completely in mind. But sometimes we don't want to find out, because it might require a drastic change in our lives. And so it's like, well, I won't ask. Then I can plead ignorance. But Jesus gave us that wonderful example. Find some silence. Find some time. Be in prayer with our God. Discern. What is God's will for me? Don't make that Lord's Prayer just empty and hollow. We run down the whole thing. All thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mean it. But we'll never know what it truly means unless we are able and willing to listen to our God.